sports, news, and entertainment covered with some middle ground common sense right here with the Smart Guys.
Sense Thinking with Charles Walshine, walshinelegal.com, foreclosure defense attorney. Charles, of course, aficionado in the world of business, entrepreneur, Mr. Stephen Schwartz, Mr. Dumble.com, talking about the great hoodies, and Stevie Green. And check out everything on Twitter when we give out the coveted Ross Attorney Award. Those who have stepped in it will tell you who won from last week and who the nominees are for the upcoming. A very good morning, Charles and Steve.
Good morning, Jay.
How are you?
Good morning, Jay.
Good morning to both. Let's get rolling. We're opening it up a little bit more, right? May 19th. The governor has had an epiphany every other day. You know, hey, look at the numbers. Let's kind of expand a little bit. Let's increase capacity and everything else. I'm still looking for something regarding the outdoor stadiums. A little bit more. At least it's a sign of the times. More light at the end of this dark tunnel. Charles. So it looks like May 19th, kind of a magic day where, you know, most of the capacity restrictions and easing of the gathering limits will be in place May 19th. What's your take on all this stuff right now?
No, pass this over to Steve, because I know he's been thinking about this.
Hey, Steve, you're up first.
I got no problem jumping in, Charlie.
This is his topic.
Jay, this is a reflection of a year. Remember a year ago in New York, how thousands and thousands of people were overswarming the hospitals. They were opening up the Javits Center, and then New York was absolutely nowhere, you know, absolutely nowhere in this. And it came down to leadership. Now look what's happening in India, and you see exactly almost identical from where we were a year ago. That they took a bow, they thought it was over, and it came back like a boomerang. So when you're talking about opening up stuff and that, yes, we've got the vaccines, we've got this, we've got that, I am a very humble guy, okay? And I remember the past. And the past, if you don't respect that past, it has a way of creeping back at you and blows you away. There's still so much not to know, you know, that we don't know. We don't know what those variants are going to be. We don't know if there's going to be a third wave coming at us. So I wouldn't be out there taking so many bows and saying, May 19th, we're going to be opening everything up and it's all going to be good and this and that. Listen, that's what they said in India. They said, oh, we're good. Coast is clear. What is this, like F Troop? You send vaudeville up on top over there with a pair of thick glasses. He goes, are they coming? I don't see anything. Everything, coast is clear. Listen, I'm not into this coast is clear. The coast will be clear when we get rid of this hideous disease off our planet. So I'm glad that we're into, you know, filling up the stadiums again, and I'm glad that we're going to get back our lives. Believe me, I am thrilled with that. But I still believe, and I'm telling you, Jay, there's more to this story than meets the eye. I know you hate my conspiracy theory that this is just a it wasn't just another virus. This was a first shot at World War III from our communist friends all over the world. I believe that. I can't even tell you, but yes, I want to see the world open up, but I want to do it and not let our feet off the obvious. The brake, the gas, whatever you want to call it.
Do not
roll that out.
I've heard Mr. Schwartz's theories before. I guess he is not a believer in the proverbial bat and sausage sandwiches they can get in those wet markets out there, Charles. But in essence, listen, I understand what he's saying. And India is a little bit different, though, as far as density and everything else from the United States of America. So, in essence, what you're seeing over there, where, you know, a zillion cases and deaths and whatnot, still, there you are battling. But, in essence, it's still about easing the restrictions. Maybe it's something this governor could have done. I've been saying it all along. You know, one in six businesses, and I had on a leading economist yesterday, that he was even saying, Marty Cannon, it could be even one in three, as far as businesses not being able to survive this, you see. So it's a massive problem. And again, you know, easing on every other day, whatever it is, it's kind of a welcome sight, but maybe should have been done a long time ago based on the numbers, the positivity levels, and everything else. So New York kind of taking its time, so to speak, with levels as low as they've ever been. So, you know, what's your take here?
Well, it really comes down to the vaccinations, and the kind of vaccination you take, because the results that we were getting, right, the things that we were really interested in about the vaccine was not primarily how long it lasts, but rather how dangerous is it, because it wasn't tested. In other words, we didn't have 3 years, 5 year clinical testing like they do for most drugs. And essentially, the two shot vaccines are the, you know, essentially like a flu shot. And they're very honest. I'm not saying anybody's being dishonest with us, but essentially what they're saying is we hope this lasts, you know, 6 months or 8 months or a year. This is going to be like a yearly thing that we take. If you see, listen, you can't live like this forever. And that's what it comes down to. Everybody's got to get vaccinated. I don't want to hear anybody say, like, oh, you know, I'm not sure, I'm not this, I'm not that. Everybody's got to get vaccinated. The thing's not going to kill you. And that's just the way it goes. Because to have businesses run, which is really what this country's all about, you can't live the rest of your life inside with wearing masks and, you know, standing 22 feet away from each other and not going, you know, we have an economy, we have a society, and we have to recover. And the first step, whether you believe in the vaccine or not, is go get a shot. It's the right thing to do. Sometimes you just got to take one for the team. And I'm not saying to sacrifice your life, but it's sometimes to suspend your own disbelief and just go do it. So everybody can go out and say, and this may sound crazy because this is not really based on logic, but there's a certain amount of sentiment involved that we're all safe, we're all doing whatever we can to be safe, and they have to open up. Enough's enough. And when you're talking about businesses not surviving, boy, I'll tell you what, I drive around the little mom and pop, every other store is closed, and then they are not coming back.
You're not going to get it back. That's what it comes down to. You're not going to be able to get these businesses back. So, listen, I understand the variants are there. I've been saying it's a race against time, variant versus vaccine. There's a lot of hesitancy out there. That is going to upset the formula as far as herd immunity is concerned. So, you know, listen, take it for what it's worth. Pfizer says it's going 12 and older now next week with a shot. So, you know, listen, a lot of people don't want to get the shot because everything's opening up. I understand that. And a lot of people hear these, you know, these stories, especially with Johnson & Johnson and the clotting and Moderna and the second shot, people getting sick and therefore foregoing everything. It's amazing to me. You get one shot, you forego the second. How do you forego the second shot if you already got one shot? That's crazy to me. But it is what it is. And the only thing you can hope for is that people somehow will have a different mindset when it comes to this. All right, let's move on to another one. This one caught my eye, guys. Charles, I'll start with you. Well, you have this principal down in Florida, elementary school, and she's under investigation. Why? She was whacking. You see the video on this? She's whacking a six-year-old girl with a paddle, okay? It was captioned on video by the student's mother, okay? So this woman, who is the head of this elementary school down in Florida, was being filmed bending the child over, hitting her several times with a wooden paddle. I mean, I cannot believe. Now, you're telling me that it's legal in, what, 14 or 15 states, I think. But I got to tell you, man, this is alarming to me. A six-year-old weighs about, what, 40 pounds soaking wet. And I'm talking about getting hit with a paddle, and this principal is reaching back and really taking shots at her derriere. I mean, that it's unbelievable. I mean, come on. Are you kidding me, Charles? Are you kidding me here?
She was, that lady was winding up. My wife brought this, you know, Gloria brought this to my attention, right? She was watching it she saw it, I think, on Fox News. Now, I'll tell you, it's shocking to us now. But I went, I spent my first, the first 6 years of my life in Jewish purgatory. And my mother sent me to yeshiva because there were school strikes in New York. And so Schwartzy was in public school, and there were the kind of strikes we used to have, which nobody experiences now, is they were like 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, and a lot of kids, you know, missed half a year of school. So my mother stuck me in the Hebrew school, and you might imagine I was not the best behaved kid in the world. So we usually got pulled out of the room by our ear, got whacked across the knuckles for, you know, with a ruler by doing, you know, when we did something wrong. And I hear the stories about my friends that went to Catholic school, especially the Jesuit schools, where the brothers would literally would slap you around if you opened up a mouth. That was the old days. And you would think that society would have made some progress in saying, well, actually hitting a kid probably doesn't do any good. And I personally don't think it does. But this the way that they were paddling the 6 year old, I mean, what could this kid have possibly done? And don't take this the wrong way, to deserve that. You know, every parent has probably, you know, swatted their kid on the butt once with their hand. But that was a fraternity paddling. It's like, you know, I was waiting for the kid to say, thank you, sir, may I have another. This is not that. But that's what it looked like. It looked like a fraternity paddling. It's just like, it was like cruel and inhuman punishment. A 6 year old? You got to be kidding.
This is nothing less.
You should probably go to jail.
Yeah, Steve, this is nothing less than aggravated battery. This is over a scratched computer, this kid put in place here. What is it, a $50 deal? And she's getting whacked in the behind, I mean, and hard, okay? To the point where the girl had to go to the doctor. Was bruised, was red, and everything else. Mother did the right thing. She didn't notice any security cameras in and around. So when she was called to the school, she took it upon herself to put the camera on via the cell phone in a purse, and here we go. I mean, this is alarming to me, and I don't care how legal it is. It is archaic and needs to be dismissed immediately by these states. I mean, come on. Give me a break. That's not a six-year-old we're talking about here. Oh, have we lost our minds completely? I mean, it's unreal.
Yes, we have lost our minds completely. And our society now is a society of extremists. It's extreme one way. You know, you got crazy laws here in New York. You got things that don't even that you can't even fathom in your head. You just sit there and say, you know, bail reform. You know, what is bail reform? There's so much the other way. You know, you look at bail reform and you sit there and you scratch your head because there's no common sense. And then you and Charlie, I never saw the video, so I really can't comment because I didn't see the video. But I could imagine from what you guys are describing, again, an extreme the other way. This is the way we're going to, you know, value our education system and value the way we think and give them a law that allows them to do it in their reasonable thoughts and how they're going to teach. It's crazy. It doesn't make sense. It's absolutely insane because whatever law you put out there, you can't have a law that allows somebody to do something like that and then hide behind the law. Because believe me, this one was caught on video. How many more are out there that aren't even being reported, that just aren't even there?
You know, speaking of hiding behind the laws, these and Steve brings up the bail laws, Charles, and I bring this up because there's Jordan Burnett. He is the accused serial synagogue vandal, okay, where you had a judge who wanted to put him behind bars at a bail cost of 20 grand, and then you had another judge who cut him loose because of these flimsy bail laws. 42 counts against him on this. Okay, he's a serial synagogue abuser as far as throwing rocks at doors and windows. He went on an 11-day spree of doing this, and he's out now on the supervisor. I mean, you got to be kidding me, okay? I mean, is this completely out of control? Does Albany not recognize stuff like this? Who are we dealing with? Are we dealing with the Walking Dead? Are they not privy to these types of stories where you have judges because it's an obvious crime where it is not categorized properly under the bail reform? I mean, have we completely lost our minds here? I mean, this is an unbelievable storyline here, and the guy's out in the street again. I mean, it's incredible to me.
I love that you're talking about this because it's important. It's important that you say something about the chain. It's very good that you brought it out. You know, bail, the purpose of bail is to make sure that somebody comes back for trial. This way you don't have to hold everybody in a cell who committed a crime. There are exceptions for sex crimes, violent crime, and how this guy got out, because that is unquestionably a hate crime. I'm not a criminal attorney, and I don't know what the bail reform laws or how they categorize a hate crime, but a hate crime, like a violent crime or a sex crime, should definitely be on the list that is a bailable offense. You know, if you're caught with possession of a little weed, whatever, you give somebody a desk appearance ticket, you arrest them, you say you put them through the system, and you don't need bail. The guy's going to come back or he's going to get a warrant. End of story. You don't need bail. You give him a date and he comes back. But for Christ's sake, these are not horrible crimes. Nobody's life is in danger. This is a hate crime. The next thing this guy could be doing would be to be shooting up a synagogue. So I
exactly
agree with you. Good call. Good call, Jay.
So, you know, we elect these people, right? Okay? So you have the legislature who does not include hate crimes in its revision of bail reform and under the laws that exist today. So it is not, I mean, are you kidding me? So how do we get through to the moronic nature as far as those who we elect to figure it out quick? It's unbelievable. I mean, as Charles said, what's next? Is this guy going to go into a synagogue next where people are praying and shoot them all up? I mean, do we get some sort of a situation as what happened down in South Carolina with this Dylan Roof guy? I mean, that's what we're leading to here, okay? We got to fix this. I mean, this is incredible. This is outrageous. Outrageous as far as what went on here. I don't know what's next. What else can equate to the insanity as what we're seeing here with this bail reform stuff? It's unbelievable to me. It really is.
Well, first of all, Charlie is right, 100% right, when he congratulates you for really being on top of this, and you are on top of this, and you've been yelling bail reform, not just today. You've been doing this for months and months and months, just like all of us. But you know what? That's the problem right there. What is it? The left has a stranglehold on common sense? Is that where we are in this? That this Carl Hasty he's proud of this? This is like a piece of legislation like I'm so proud of, to let the bad guy back out on the street to do more? And it's like it's so obvious that if you don't go after the smaller crime, the bigger crime comes. So if you're going to let this guy out for throwing rocks, what's next? You know what's next? Exactly what you said, a mass shooting. Does that get anyone's eyes? Is that what we're leading up to? It's a joke. But where is the opposition? The last person that I knew that had real opposition to bail reform was John Flanagan, the guy from Huntington, the senator from Huntington. He. This guy was forming rallies. He was getting involved. He really saw the writing on the wall with this, and he ended up resigning because he's so disgusted by what was going on. It was clear as day. So where is the next John Flanagan? Where is the next person that's going to come out and not sit there and say, okay, you know what? I'm going to play safe. I'm going to bunt. I'm going to be like politically correct, and I'm just going to do what AOC and what all these people that have a stranglehold on our city are doing, de Blasio and the whole crew there. And no one sees this. The only one that sees this is Jay Oliver in the morning, and the smart guys. Come on, we need more John Flanagans out there for common sense. This is ridiculous.
You know, I really am. John Flanagan is no more. Hopefully, we rely on the guy who replaced him, Mario Matera, who can somehow pound common sense into what's going on in Albany. I mean, you know, you talk about, and I say this all the time, you know, where the basic framework established by the original bail reform law really hasn't changed. Because when you analyze it, for most misdemeanors and nonviolent felonies, judges are still required to release people with the least restrictive conditions necessary to reasonably assure the person will come back to court. I guess if you have the thinking of blah, blah, you know what? Here's a pair of Met tickets. Come back to court, okay? Here's a pair of Met tickets. They're under 500 now. Good luck, okay? Come back to court. In all other cases, judges have the discretion to release people with or without pretrial conditions designed, of course, to ensure they return to court. In most cases, it doesn't happen. Listen, I've said this all along. They tweaked it. They didn't do enough. There are people who said they didn't do enough who are not in office anymore. People know who I'm talking about here. More people have to go. I'm going to tell you right now. More people have to go if they don't fix this stuff. You cannot allow the Jordan Burnetts to walk the streets. The guy's insane, and he's going to do something drastic that people are going to regret, okay? And it's going to happen. And it's not because I'm not the only guy saying it. I appreciate the compliments. I'm not the only guy saying it. A lot of people saying it, okay? But the fact of the matter is, I should not be out in the streets. He's got issues. He's got real big-time issues. And they need to really look at and enough is enough, okay? That's why we elect people to do the job. All right, we are at the point, gentlemen, where we need to take a break. And we will give out the very coveted bronze attorney award for those who have stepped in it, folks. And we will tell you who won from last week and who are the nominees for the upcoming right after these words. All right, we give out the coveted bronze attorney, folks. How? Well, you go on the LI News Radio Twitter page. You can vote. And it just so happened that yours truly had more votes for my nominee, which was Chuck Schumer. And that was kind of an easy one, guys, because Chuck always steps in it. Even when he doesn't even know it, he steps in it, you know. So, in essence, that's what's going on. He's done nothing. I think one of my situations last week was he has done nothing helping the Northport VA Medical Center get back to where it should be. He has done nothing for those fine folks who are beholden to the New York American Water saga scene, even though he, you know, was on somebody's driveway that I knew and you know, basically blasted NYAW and said, we're going to fight hard for the, you know, it's just a bunch of not. We're going to get you, Gorsuch. We're going to get you. Listen, I've had it with Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer is such an easy slam dunk. It should actually be voided as far as when we should not nominate him, because it's an easy win. People know Chuck for what he is. Chuck Schumer is the winner of the coveted bronze turkey. We will box and send it to wherever he is, and we go from there. So Charles's pick was Kevin McCarthy, I believe, and Steve's pick was the commissioner of the NYPD, Dermot Shea. So we move on, and Mr. Schwartz, I'll begin with you as far as your nominee, sir, for the upcoming bronze turkey next week.
Leadership, leadership, leadership. It was a year ago in New York City. We had no leadership. We had our hospitals were overflowed. It was a disaster. The nursing home situation, thanks to Cuomo, was a disaster. And we're seeing it repeat around the world, especially in a place called India, where Prime Minister Narendra Modi, okay, has completely botched the rollout. He completely botched this rollout. To date, just over 2% of 1.3 billion of his people are fully vaccinated. Okay, it is a complete embarrassment that he allowed people to just freely go on with their lives, just freely. Just the younger population are able to travel freely about the country. And they spread this like you wouldn't believe. They had a religious ceremony with hundreds of thousands of people, and the thing just blew up. We talk about leadership on this program for the last year. It's like a year anniversary. And this guy Modi, this Prime Minister Modi, it could be the greatest guy, except when it came to leading, when it counted. And this guy stepped right into it. Prime Minister Modi is an example for the world of what not to do.
That's a good one. Very good, sir. I like that one. Mr. Walshine, you're a nominee for the upcoming, sir.
I'm going to keep nominating Kevin McCarthy from California, the minority leader in Congress. This guy is single-handedly going to go down as the greatest Republican coward in the history of American politics. You have really, really great Republicans that serve. They vote how they believe. They vote as to how the party that I know the Republican Party to be. I don't agree with a lot of the stuff, but that's America. You know, I have my opinion, you have yours, and you engage in discourse in a civil way. You know, this is, you know, sort of like what I do for a living. I don't agree with people for a living. That's my job. But we do it civilly. And we also try to stick to facts. But this guy is ducking. This guy's got, I'm going to go with Schwartz here on this, on the leadership. The Republican Party, because of this guy, because he has no guts, what they ought to do is they ought to replace him with Liz Cheney. Instead of getting rid of her, they're chasing her out of the party. They've chased so many good people out of the Republican Party, it's not even funny. And you have other good people, like people we know, Jay, that are afraid to speak what's on their minds because they will be ostracized by the nutcases that are left over there. Don't forget, there's still 140-plus who believe the election was stolen, and they still don't have evidence. And there was a riot, and they don't denounce the rioters. And you have that maniac in Georgia, and he lets us sit on committee. So I'm going to keep nominating this guy until he gets it, until he gets the award, Kevin McCarthy.
Charles, obviously an advocate for dead people to vote, so we go along with that. Now, with that being said, Charles and Steve, I'm going to give my, you know, I was kind of torn here. Do I give a little piece to Tom Wilson of the Capitals, what he did to Artemi Panarin? I mean, he could have killed the guy last night on the ice. Or maybe Gary Bettman and the crew really need to take a tougher look at this. This guy is nothing but a thug on skates. That's all he is. He has no talent at all. My only hope is the Capitals and the Islanders face in the playoffs and Matt Martin takes care of business, if you know what I mean. But with that being said, I can't go there. I am giving my award to the state legislature and bail reform and my apologies to the judge in the Bronx, Lewis Knock. He tried to put away Jordan Burnett. Tried. After going on an 11-day spree of throwing rocks at synagogues, breaking windows and doors. He tried, but he was handcuffed himself. He has no power because of the flimsy laws that the legislature put in place. Therefore, Burnett's out in the street again. Okay? So, all on alert, state legislature, all on alert, and a little piece of the coveted award will be divided and given to each because maybe, just maybe, it'll be an eye-opener as far as changing these laws. Even the mayor said, you know what? In a situation of this nature, we might have to relook at things, okay? My award goes to the state legislature. Wake up already! Charles and Steve, how's the hoodie going, Steve? Everything going good? Mr. Dumble.com.
Yeah, the hoodies are moving out, and people love them. So they're soft, they're great, and remember, dumb plus humble equals smart. Mr. Dumble.
Mr. Dumble, always a pleasure. Mr. Walshine, walshinelegal.com. Charles, always a pleasure, sir. Always a pleasure. We'll look forward to next week, guys.
Outstanding.